Ready?
We'll do 865 first.
We'll do that first. Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Commerce and Workforce Development. We have a full agenda. If anyone is here on Senate Bill 895, we are not going to be taking that bill up today. It is posted for a hearing at one of our future meetings, though. So I'm going to start with opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 865. And Jeremy, I'll ask you to briefly explain this bill, and Senator Walker is also here to talk about it.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, Senate Bill 865 defines bookkeeper as one who keeps and maintains tax returns and documents relating to tax returns, requires bookkeeper to be licensed and establishes license qualifications, procedures, and fees, requires bookkeeper to return client documents upon request, requires bookkeeper to make copies of documents for client when making copies for bookkeeper, requires continuing professional education. We have no revenue impact. We do not have a fiscal statement, and just today we received a dash one amendment, which perhaps we can hear about.
Great. Okay, thank you, Jeremy, and welcome Senator Walker to our committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Vicki Walker, State Senator, District 7. I'm pleased to be here today with 865. The Dash 1 Amendment is pretty significant changes in that I spoke with Senator Telfer, who's just a wealth of knowledge, and I spoke with the Board of Tax Practitioners about this bill. And the prior bill, the bill in its original form, kept mixing the word bookkeeper with taxes, and bookkeeper don't necessarily do tax returns. They do the bookwork that often is given to an accountant or a tax preparer, but they don't, they're not licensed to prepare tax returns. So we tried to take out all the references to tax returns with regard to a bookkeeper and basically define a bookkeeper as a person who keeps and maintains receipts, books, records, and account statements for another person and for valuable consideration. Pretty much the bill sort of parallels that, also describes that the Board of Tax Practitioners will set by a date by which a tax consultant, tax preparer, or bookkeeper must renew a license. And it was in consultation with the Board of Tax Practitioners that I determined that we would have their license, the license of a bookkeeper, be 3 years instead of 1 year as required by a tax practitioner or a CPA, because those licensees need to be kept abreast of the tax laws that change every single year, guaranteed, without a doubt, and bookkeepers are not necessarily so attuned to that or really give a hoot. So their job is to prepare the paperwork for the client so that hopefully it saves time when they do take it in for their tax return. But in my conversations with Senator Telfer, that's not always the way those documents come to them. So the reason I have these folks licensed under the Board of Tax Practitioners is because there is no other licensing board that would work. We don't want to create a new licensing board. The executive director of the Board of Tax Practitioners is not opposed to having the licensing responsibility for bookkeepers, and the license would pay for the cost of the licensing. So I think we're pretty good to go on that. The reason I brought this bill forward is because my homeowners association has used the services of a bookkeeper under the auspices of a tax practitioner in the past. The services were anything but stellar, and since I became on the board, I've been complaining about those services as well as other board members, and so we finally disengaged from the bookkeeper tax practitioner, and now we are at a certified public accountant doing the books and tax returns for the Homeowners Association. And I can tell you that as a board member, I am quite pleased with that result, because the paperwork that comes to us is timely, efficient, and very well done, and I don't have to second guess what they've done. So what I'm trying to do is make sure that bookkeepers can't just hang a shingle out saying, I'm a bookkeeper, I know how to balance your books and records, when in fact they don't. You know, I got a I think I got a D in accounting in college. That's the only D in my life that I ever got. And my professor said that the reason he didn't just give me an F is because I tried so hard. And so then I did my own tax return for a number of years. That's kind of scary, isn't it? But then it became too complicated when we bought rental property, and I use a certified public accountant, and I'm quite happy to just pick up my return and know that it's perfect. But it wasn't so perfect when I was doing it, and you have to have a chart of accounts and this and that, and it would be nice if we could have some professionalism in the industry, and so that small businesses particularly who try to do things on the cheap know that if they use a bookkeeper and a tax practitioner, that these people are properly licensed and have actually receive some training in their field. We don't give them a lot of training opportunities. I mean, they have opportunities galore, because I did hear back from the executive director of the Board of Tax Practitioners. That's a lot of words to say. But he said there are sufficient classes available. They looked on the internet. They looked at community colleges. And so there's sufficient classes for them to take their 5 hours of continuing education credit, which is very small. But in that particular line of work, not much changes. If you don't know how to do a balance sheet, there's not much that's going to help you after that. So this is really the genesis of the bill, and I was glad when Senator Telfer came by and visited with me about it and explained some of the concerns that she had about the bill as written and some of the concerns she's experienced in her practice with paperwork that comes from a bookkeeper. So I'll take any questions, and I know there are certified public accountants who are here to testify in opposition. I expected that, though I do have to tell you that they did reach out to me as I was, I reached out to them some time ago when this all happened last year with our condo association. And then they put one of their folks in touch with me, and we sort of lost base touch with one another because I got very busy over the summer. But I do believe I'm willing to work with them if they see any change. But I think this is necessary, and if they're coming up here to testify that it's not necessary, I would respectfully disagree with that. If there are changes they'd like to make, I'm all for that. But I do think these folks need to be licensed.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Senator Walker? I don't see any. Okay, thank you.
Oh, Madam Chair, I do have a question. Senator Walker, are you going to be staying or?
I cannot.
Testimony, you've got a committee meeting you've got to take off.
Yes, Madam Chair and Senator Telfer, I have to scoot on over to Lincoln City. We have hearings tonight from the Joint Ways and Means Committee, and I do have to stop in before that and check on our property since I haven't been there for months. But my staff will be upstairs taking notes, and I'm assuming that you and I will also have a conversation when this committee
returns. Yes, follow up.
Well, given the fact that you might not be here, you and I have had a discussion regarding Section 6, sub 2, line 16 on the dash 1, that may not be necessary, the copy of a copy, so that if, in fact, we did another amendment or another amendment was needed, you wouldn't be opposed to that.
Madam Chair and Senator Telfer, you are exactly correct. We couldn't quite figure out. We felt like the subparagraph 2 sort of was a ditto of subparagraph 1, and we didn't really need that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much for being here, and have a good trip over to the coast.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Looks like you have a nice day for it.
Actually, looking forward to seeing the coastline of Oregon, because it is absolutely beautiful, so thank you.
Great. Okay, we have two more witnesses signed up, and I'll call them together, Steve McConnell and Keith Myers, if you'd both like to come forward. Good afternoon. Welcome
Good afternoon,
to our
Senator
committee.
Rosenbaum, members of the committee. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Steve McConnell, and I am a practicing CPA and a member of the Legislative Policy Committee for the Oregon Society of CPAs. Senator Walker is absolutely correct. She did reach out to us, and we did have an email and a telephone conversation. And I understood from her initially that her primary concern had to do with what was referred to as records retention, that the bookkeeper that she was dealing with, in addition to doing an inadequate job, primarily would not return records which were necessary for the homeowners association to be able to effectively function and file whatever report to its own members, as well as file whatever was necessary for the taxing authorities. And as a result, I thought about this for a little while and was concerned about the bill as it currently is laid out, and that's why we're testifying in opposition to it, primarily because it creates a regulatory regime, admittedly within an existing regulatory board, but it creates a regulatory regime along with the associated costs that go with that, which costs wind up being passed on to Oregon businesses and Oregon consumers. In addition, and I think of equal concern, is the possible confusion and lack of understanding in the minds of the public as to bookkeepers, licensed tax preparers, licensed tax consultants, public accountants, and certified public accountants, and what kinds of capabilities those different parties might have. However, it is absolutely appropriate for there to be some methodology whereby consumers of these accounting bookkeeping services can get their records back and not be held hostage, not have those records held hostage. And so attached to the written testimony which we have is a copy of the administrative rules from the Board of Accountancy which talk about records retention. And I would suggest that one way to deal with this is to simply create a penalty within the statute, within Oregon state law, which prevents people from retaining other people's records and make that either a criminal or a civil penalty.
Excuse me, you said you have written testimony, and I don't think we have it.
Yeah.
Does somebody have copies of it?
We do.
Okay.
We're sorry.
It looks like we'll be getting those. Okay, thank you very much for your testimony, and I think we'll hold questions until we've heard from both of you.
Good afternoon. My name is Keith Myers, Senator Chair Rosenbaum, and members of the committee. I, too, am a CPA in public practice, practice in Portland, Oregon. The other concern we have, if this bill were to move forward, is the definition of bookkeeper. I've just taken a very quick look at the Dash 1 amendments, and definitely Senator Walker's changes to take the definition of tax preparer and tax compliance out of the definition does help clarify. Our concern still is the issue for Oregon businesses here in Oregon. Would this legislation, would the statute also apply to bookkeepers in the employment, individuals that prepare and maintain the general ledger for a company, possibly even individuals that deal with accounts receivable or accounts payable ledgers for companies? Almost every small business has got employees on their payroll that do this type of accounting work for these companies. Would an individual as a bookkeeper have to be licensed by the Board of Tax Practitioners in order to practice there and be an employee? So our big concern there is that we clarify what the term bookkeeper is and what individuals are and are not included in statute. That's our primary concern at this point. Any questions? Both Steve and I are here available.
Yes.
And we do have your written testimony now. And Senator Telfer.
A question regarding the return of the documents. Section 12, is that not sufficient? I think it's Section 12 where it says that. The licensee shall, upon written request by a client, make available or return within a reasonable time to the client personal papers or source material. And then there's references through the bill regarding other statutes that would impose the penalty for not doing so. Is that not, that's not sufficient?
Senator Rosenbaum, Senator Telfer, yes, I believe it is. the question that I was raising in my testimony was whether that would be sufficient by itself as opposed to the requirement for a full-scale registration on the part of people who style themselves as bookkeepers.
A follow-up? For a little bit of understanding, because there's really two issues in this bill, one being the licensing now process as well as the retention issue. So the retention issue is okay, except for it refers to a licensed bookkeeper.
Correct.
Okay.
And that takes care of your question.
That answers that part.
Okay, any other questions? And you provided us with copies of Oregon Administrative Rules, which I assume these apply to, from the Board of Accountancy, so these apply to CPAs.
Senator Rosenbaum, that's correct.
Uh-huh.
They do. I was using those simply as an example, which obviously Senator Telfer has already included in the amendments mm-hmm. in terms of trying to create a mechanism for some penalty or whatever. I was simply suggesting that should be sufficient as opposed to the full-scale registration issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on Senate Bill 865? Okay, seeing no one, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 865. And looks like we'll just take these bills in the order that we've got them on our agenda. So next I'll open a work session on... I think we don't actually need testimony on this one. So I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 51. And Jeremy, refresh our memory about Senate Bill 51.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, Senate Bill 51, it's from Bureau of Labor and Industries. It requires the Commissioner of Bureau of Labor and Industries to establish by order each biennium the amount of fee paid by public agencies awarding public works contracts. It requires that fee be adequate to pay costs of surveys, administration, and education relating to prevailing wage law. Establishes fee between 0.1 and 0.125% of each contract. Retains current temporary minimum fee of $250 and maximum fee of $7,500. Requires commissioner to set forth in rule basis for determining fee. Declares an emergency effective upon passage. We had a -2 amendment, and that's incorporated in that description, which basically shrank the initial amount of the fee and retained the current maximum and minimum. We do have a fiscal, which you should have in your materials, and the fiscal impact of the bill is indeterminate, and it depends somewhat on what fee is established by the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. And we have the -2 amendment. Did we adopt the -2 amendment already?
We adopted the -2 amendment already, and we were only awaiting the fiscal.
Right, so it sounds like we're ready basically for a motion on the bill.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, I move Senate Bill 51 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Does it go to Ways and Means?
No, it does not.
Okay.
Senator Manis Anderson has moved Senate Bill 51A to the floor with a due pass recommendation, as amended, with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Telfer.
This is, in fact, increasing the fee from where it's sunsetting.
I'm sorry, the initial fee?
Yeah.
The initial fee, I think, was 0.1% to 0.2%, and that was decreased from a range of 0.1% to 0.125%. So it shrank the range of the fee, and then it also, the initial bill had no maximum. The maximum would have been the percentage, and this one included the current maximum fee, which is $7,500 per contract. That was of a lot of concern to the Department of Transportation.
We do have the agency in the room. If you need a more detailed explanation, would that be helpful?
That would be great.
Okay, so we'll call Kate Newhall forward.
Kate?
Thank you. For the record, Kate Newhall with the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and I'm the Legislative and Communications Director, and I believe the question was about the fee and if it is increasing the fee. And the Senate Bill 51, as amended with the Dash 2 amendments, does is retain the current minimum and maximum fee of $250 and $7,500 that is set to sunset on December 31st, 2010. So when you look at the amendments, or if you actually look at the statute, there is a subsection that's not contained in the amendments that is has that temporary fee in it of $250 and $7,500 that is set to sunset. So when you look at the actual bill amendment, it is making permanent the fee that is currently going to sunset at the end of 2010.
So it's not increasing the fee,
no.
But it is putting a maximum on there.
It is retaining the current minimum and maximum that are set to sunset. But I think that's why it looks like it is an increase, because it's making the amendment in the current statute, and then the subsection that's right below it isn't in the amendment. It's because it's part of a section that will come off the statutes, I guess, when it sunsets. I feel like I just confused things.
Uh-huh.
Madam Chair?
Yes, yeah. Senator Monica.
Why didn't you just remove the sunset? Mm-hmm.
That is essentially what we're doing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like somebody might have their cell phone on.
It is not on.
No.
Off. I don't know what it's doing.
Okay.
It is just removing the sunset.
Did you have an additional question?
No, I just wonder, since there was bold with different numbers on here, that's why it was so confusing.
Yeah. In the section immediately below it that's not contained in the amendment has that provision of the $250 and the $7,500 on it, and then it says this fee schedule will sunset on December 31st, 2010.
Okay, well, I think that explanation certainly, well, for the record, should suffice. So, okay, so we do have a motion before us, which was that the bill go to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Senator Przanski is out in the hall and I think probably wants to vote on this motion. So, would you like to go get him?
Yes, since we're not increasing anything, we're just stating this. Looking this up. That's why I want confirmation of that.
Senator Przanski, yeah, we're just about to vote.
Okay.
Pam, would you please call the roll?
Senator Przanski?
Aye.
Senator
Montanus? Aye.
Chair
Selfer? Aye. Motion carries. And is there a volunteer to carry the bill?
Who's on it?
Senator Montanus Anderson, would you like to do that?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Great. So we will close. I think that's what I did that, but I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 51. And I will open a work session on Senate Bill 112. Jeremy.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, Senate Bill 112 allows certain retired members of the public employees retirement system who elected to receive a lump sum payment of benefits to be reemployed by a public employer, subject to limitations on the number of hours of employment, without repayment of the lump sum received. This bill, we had a hearing on this bill on March 9th. Subsequently, we had two amendments which were offered, and neither of them have been discussed or adopted by the committee. There's no revenue impact on the bill, and we received a fiscal with no expenditure impact on the original bill.
So I think the bill is before us in its original form and ready to go with no revenue and no expenditure impact. And we are in a work session, so I would entertain a motion. Senator Telfer.
Madam Chair, I move that we send Senate Bill 112 to the floor.
With a due pass recommendation?
Sure.
Okay. Senator Telfer moves Senate Bill 112 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none.
Well, the only discussion I'm going to have is that I'm leaning towards a no on this, even though I moved it as vice chair.
Oh, I see. Well, if you, we could certainly have somebody else make that motion if you're uncomfortable with it. You can withdraw your motion if you want.
I prefer to do that.
Okay, then Senator Telfer has withdrawn her motion.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator
Prezantsky. Move Senate Bill 112 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Prezantsky moves Senate Bill 112 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Pam, would you please call the roll?
Senator Prezantsky?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye. Motion carries. And I think the chair will carry this bill. And so I will close the work session on Senate Bill 112. And I will next open a work session on Senate Bill 399. Members, I think we do have an amendment on this bill, correct? Jeremy?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so why don't you go ahead and tell us what we're looking at.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 399 permits certain members of the public employee retirement system who participate in deferred compensation plan to direct deferred compensation to PERS within 60 days of the effective date of the act to restore forfeited creditable service or acquire retirement credit for a probationary period of employment. We have a dash one amendment. We heard this bill originally on March 9th. Subsequent to that, proponents and PERS met, and the result of that meeting was the Dash 1 amendment, which we have in front of us. And basically, the Dash 1 amendment opens it up to a larger group of people. The first original proposal was very narrowly defined as to who could participate. And the initial bill, there was an objection by PERS having to do with their technical ability to administer the bill. And so in the Dash 1 amendment, it delays the start until September 1, 2011, which would allow PERS to incorporate this into their new computer system. So there, we have no revenue impact, and we do have a fiscal, which you should have in front of you, which establishes some amount of funds to set the system up.
And we've just been provided some written testimony from the agency, and they are in the room, so I'm going to ask Paul Cleary to come forward and just briefly summarize your testimony on the bill.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. Paul Cleary, Executive Director of PERS. As Jeremy summarized, the original bill had a real narrow application, changed the time when people were allowed to make purchases, and also had an immediate implementation date on it, so it caused us a lot of administrative problems. We work with the proponents. It's now available to anyone, but the purchases are still limited to 90 days before or within your retirement date, your effective retirement date. And we've got some information in the memo on the type of purchases that people make. The vast majority of our purchases are for waiting time, that first 6 months of someone's career of service. And the average cost for those in 2008 was about $1,200. The more expensive costs are the refunded time, and we had an average cost on those of about $15,000 or $16,000. We don't believe that the this bill will necessarily increase the number of purchases because people still have to be members of a 457 plan, the deferred compensation plan, or a 403B plan, or roll money from other source into those plans before they can take advantage of this. But it met the criteria that our board had set out for this bill, which was don't have a narrow application, don't trigger it immediately. If it's good, do it in a more sensible manner. We do have a fiscal on this, and we learned our lesson on this IT system. We do our best estimate now of what the potential cost of making these changes are. You might recall in the last two sessions, we had a lot of fiscal impact, but indeterminate at this time. Well, then we ended up having to ask for $2.5 million in our budget to roll in about two sessions worth of changes. So you'll see these kind of fiscals on all of ours. No guarantee that this is the amount, but it is our best estimate of what it would take to implement this. Be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Senator Telfer.
Without this process, this piece of software, all the IT involved here would not be necessary. This is specific. This $156,000.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Telfer, yes, it's what it requires is us to track these dollars on a pre-tax basis, whereas all our other purchases currently are on an after-tax basis. So we have to track these, and on each 1099-R that we issue from that date forward for those members, we identify these as dollars that came in on a pre-tax basis, so they're treated differently.
Okay, and Senator Prezanski.
Yeah. Paul, could you just tell us this, if it goes through, is this going to be something, unless there's another change, that any member of FERS in the future would be able to make access to?
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Prezanski, yes, any member of PERS that had a 403B or a 457 plan, a deferred comp plan, could utilize this, and if they had money in another tax deferred plan, they could roll it into those first and then utilize it. That was kind of one of the selling points, I think, of the amendment. So it wasn't real narrow.
And I assume with this amendment then that satisfied the agency's concerns about the bill?
Chair Rosenbaum, yes, with this amendment, recognizing that we do have a fiscal impact on it and the delayed implementation date satisfy our needs.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And we are in a work session, so we're ready to entertain a motion. We actually have to move the amendment, which we have not adopted yet.
Madam Chair,
yes, Senator Prezanski.
I'd move the -1s in the Senate Bill 399.
Senator Prezanski moves the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 399. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Prezanski.
This is one of those situations all of us are actually in PERS, and I don't know if we need to be making declarations, because this seems to me that it's going to impact and affect everybody. That's why I asked the question. So I wanted it on the record, so I'm seeing Mr. Clary say that he doesn't think it would be a potential conflict.
It affects the entire class.
Right.
And so I just want to make sure that's on the record. And so
good clarification, but I'm confident that's correct, that there's such a broad class of people affected by these bills that we do not have to worry. But thank you for pointing that out. And any further discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair.
Senator Prezanski.
I move Senate Bill 399 to the floor as amended by the -1s with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Prezanski moves Senate Bill 399 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And it looks like we've got discussion. Senator Telfer.
Just a question. Given the fiscal impact, does this need a subsequent to Ways and Means?
That's a good point.
I think
even though it's small, given, and even though it's other funds, it probably would be a good idea for our friends in Ways and Means. So why don't you...
Madam Chair, I'm going to rescind my motion.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's accepted, then I will move that Senate Bill 399 with the -1s be referred to the floor with the due pass recommendation
and request
a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay, so Senator Prezanski moves Senate Bill 399 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and additionally requests that a subsequent referral to Ways and Means be added to the bill. And Senator Telfer.
Just a comment. Given these economic times, I'm not necessarily a proponent of spending more money. Just because it's other funds doesn't make any difference to me. I do understand the benefits that this would offer people participating in PERS. I also understand that having gone through numbers of hours looking at pension 1099s that have that undetermined amount of taxability on those distributions, that this piece of software might help my job out there a little bit more, but and that can be costly. But the bottom line here is it's up to Ways and Means. And so if they can find the dollars in the current budget, I have no problem passing this bill to them.
Okay. Seeing no further discussion, Pam, would you please call the roll? Aye.
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 And Senator George is excused, and the motion carries. And because this is going to Ways and Means, probably, we don't need a carrier. So I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 399. We are not taking up Senate Bill 895 today. So with nothing further to come before us, committee is adjourned.